Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello.
So it's the traditional running commentary
pre-marathon
pre-brief.
Pre-marathon jamble around Clissold.
I really need to talk to you about not just my marathon, but my coming weeks. But we're going to try and on our gentle taper run, just a shorter soft surfaces loop, triple loop for Clissold Park. We'll see what we can tap into that might help you in your upcoming marathon or other event, should you be doing
doing spring marathons around this time.
Yeah. I think here's something I'll jump
Various
straight in
with. Marathons exist.
I think I'm better at tapering than I used to be. It's quite a complicated notion to taper, or rather, it's a simple notion, but it's hard to action it because there's a dynamism to it, you know? It isn't just stopping running. It isn't just eating pizza.
No.
It's about a kind of gentle fade from pushing it down to saving it.
It's about
without changing too much too quickly.
It's about having faith in your training. That's the good thing about it, is it's always a great phase if you feel you've earned your taper.
Yes.
If you feel you've done everything necessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's different. But if you feel like I'm kind of tapering, but I still need to train because I missed a month, and I'm like, then that's quite hellish, actually.
Yeah,
isn't it? Because you don't know where you are,
and it's too late. You know, your body dictates the taper.
Yeah.
So you can't think, oh well, I have to do my 22 miles 4 weeks late or whatever.
Yeah, I'll do it 10 days before, and it makes no difference or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that really is something to watch.
Yeah, so it's
talking taper. We're saying peak mileage. Feeling really fit, feeling like you could do the marathon today, about 3 weeks before the marathon.
Yeah.
And then that first week of the taper, it's tough, isn't it? Because you don't want to stop. You don't want to drop off a cliff.
No.
You probably won't change anything you're eating. The only real difference that first week is you're starting to do less miles rather than more.
Come off mileage a little bit.
Yeah.
Not loads, but if you're used to doing 50 miles a week, you'll probably come down to late 30s maybe, or even mid 30s.
Yeah, like my age.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I keep telling myself that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, we were talking before about the weather, how the weather can be with spring marathons. Running here in Clissold Park, I remember just before that really hot London Marathon, I think it was 2017, when it was all warnings and stuff, I literally did my last shortest run, my little 5K.
Yeah.
I think on the Thursday
before
the London Marathon on the Sunday. And it was boiling hot weather.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, good, good, I'll get used to this. But you can't really, can you?
No.
There's nothing to be done.
But it's a very... there's something very optimistic about a spring marathon, isn't it? When you've been training out all winter and then you get those first bursts of spring.
Yes.
Coinciding with the marathon. Something very optimistic about the timing of a spring marathon.
Sometimes it'll actually happen on the day. You kind of get out there and it's cold and grey, and then as you finally do this thing you've been warming towards for 4 months or whatever, all these people coalesce around you. You feel this warmth.
Yes.
First of all, a theoretical warmth, then a sunshiny warmth.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking, I should have brought sun cream.
Yeah.
And Brighton Marathon in particular, it being the beginning of April, is it's cuspal.
Yes.
I mean, we're all about the cusp at the moment, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
you never quite know what you're going to get, do you? There.
Well, let's get back into.
And let's chat about the taper first.
Yeah, so. I just want to talk about that last week, though. So the middle week is very Goldilocks, isn't it? So you one week is you wind back your mileage, you stay, keep doing your stretches, keep just eating well. Second week. I still wouldn't change what I'm eating much.
No, but again, you're dialing down your mileage. Still.
Yes, I get the mileage down. If 50 to about miles 50 is your peak week, I'd get down to...
About 20, 25?
Yeah, I wouldn't go further than 25 two weeks out.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, I think I'd go 50 in the 4 weeks of the marathon. 50, 35, 25, 15.
Yeah.
But then that 15 is
it's
max.
It's the week of the marathon. And that's the week of the marathon,
yes.
isn't it? So you do 26, that ends up being a 40-mile week. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, I would favour, particularly as it's my rhythm anyway, I would favour the early part of the week.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's more not so much the mileage as a sense that you actually taper down the runs.
Yeah.
So go out on the Monday and do like a normal run, maybe 6-7 miles if that's what you do. And then when you go, if you would do that again on Wednesday, go out and just stop and go home after 4.
Yeah.
You know? Go out on Friday and run a mile and then stop. You really are trying to leave yourself
your
thinking.
Trainers.
Leave your legs thinking, I thought we were going to run. I'm ready to run.
And you've also got that sort of, you might have an expo to go to or some sort of registration that can be quite draining if you don't watch yourself.
Yes, that's right. That's the complicated one.
And travel.
You've really got to rest and not be tired out. And trying to rest and not be tired out can leave you feeling stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really difficult. I think sleeping is really key with that because it's very important to make sure you get enough sleep. You know, be bold about claiming a lay-in or a nap if you have to kind of request those from the family or whatever.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, remember that you can't do all this in the last 36 hours before the race.
Yeah.
If you get a good night's sleep Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's great.
And then start A, stressing, and B, being too busy or having to get up too early in the morning to sleep well on the Friday, Saturday nights. Don't stress it.
Don't worry too much. Yeah.
Because that's the night before is never, you can't expect a good night's sleep the night before a marathon.
No.
And the same with the food. I think I excuse the street cleaner here. The sun is shining here today.
It is, yeah.
And it's very wet underfoot. The what Rene McGregor said, which is that in terms of carb loading, there's two very specific things about carb loading that we've talked about before, but always bear repeating. One is, it's not a question of eating loads of bread or pasta. It's a question of just slightly recalibrating the food
the proportions
groups within what you'd normally have.
Yeah.
So just for the maths of it, if you would normally have sort of equal amounts sausages, green vegetables and carbs, then have one less sausage and have a bit more carbs.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And healthy carbs are much better. You want brown rice and jacket potatoes. And, pasta's not bad. But it's not just for the gluten-free among us. Wheat is more complicated because you need other things with it to digest it well. But, the second really important thing, and it kind of ties in with that really, is you want to be doing that 3 days out. So really we're talking Monday to Thursday before a marathon on a Sunday. And the nice thing about that is that means it's normal life.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's not about buying...
No big changes.
You don't have to eat a pizza at the expo. This is about saying, hey, on Wednesday, let's have a jack of potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, it's that
and it's sort of...
Because it's not about... The really important thing that I didn't know years ago is that you're not giving yourself loads of fuel. You're putting carbohydrates in your body because they stop the buildup of lactic acid in your muscles.
Right.
So you don't need more food. You're going to burn all your fuel anyway.
You do, and I do think you feel the difference, I must say.
Yeah.
I do think it's effective. I mean, it used to be that you'd massively reduce your carbs Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then overload. But that feels too extreme for most people.
Yeah, and I think
just increase it.
It's probably a run up to the same. It's just a grabby way of doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the reason that would work is clarity. But really, I think if you the difference whether you eat rice or not on the Monday when you're having your jacket potatoes on a Wednesday. It's if in doubt, keep it sensible and steady.
Yeah. I think there was an idea that you depleted your stores and then there was some sort of overcompensation going on.
Yeah.
But it all felt a bit...
I mean, this
a
was
bit austere.
This was between the wars.
This was mid-80s.
You were supposed to cut down
extremism.
To like no more than 40 cigarettes a day as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Back then.
There was definitely a no fags policy.
Wow.
That's a cut out of your fags the last few days. It really hurt a lot of people. That. What's the point?
And then everyone would meet on Friday for cough up.
Yeah.
Pre-marathon cough
What's
up.
What's the point if you can't have a fag? Fag and chips.
I had some chips the other day.
Oh, yeah.
When I was at the seaside.
Nice, yeah.
I thought I'd have a lovely portion of chips. And you know what?
Yeah.
They're never as good as those first three, are they?
No. And also, but nice, though. Yeah.
Kind of the saltiest thing you'll ever eat.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Chip shop chips.
Was this?
I've never been so thirsty in my life.
Was this when you were...
Down south.
On the model train on
I
your
thought
own.
I developed it. I should have had the chips on the model train, shouldn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boop, boop. Who's that guy?
Shundicum.
I don't know, but he's definitely living his best life. That's right, mate. Lots of salt and vinegar. Boop, boop. Chips on the train.
Throws chip to seagull.
Kya! You'll be my friend. Kya! They're my friends, see? Boop, boop. Thomas the Tank Engine.
Rob goes
Rob
to the park
sad
run.
Shh, come on. Great. So, okay, I'm going to make a block shift now. Gear change.
Go on, then.
It's complicated, Brighton, for me.
Yes.
Because...
Let's talk Brighton.
Let's talk Brighton.
I've
right
never
now.
Done Brighton. It's a sort of... It has a weird place in the running folklore, doesn't it, Brighton? It's a slightly muddied history as well.
That's true. It didn't happen this year. That's right. Which is all kinds of complicated financial dodgy. Which is funny because it's like New York, that, isn't it? It's because Brighton and Hove is such a... It's a city that, to the point of almost being a mini-state.
Yes, yeah.
These things that can get a bit... You know, it's the wildlands of Brighton.
Yeah.
But and also, you know, obviously Brighton is a vibe, as they say. And one that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
All very much tied in with this particular Brighton Marathon, running it in memory of Phil Jarrett, who's...
Yes, of
you know,
course,
yeah. He was such a Brightonian. And a big part of that was what a lovely man he was.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Anyway, I think in terms of the event, from our experience of Brighton, the Brighton Marathon, and running events in life, is that on the one hand, it's got that wonderful, proper locality that you get. You get it in
from
the Great North Run.
Yeah.
Where it feels like you're just, sooner or later, it's like, you feel like, even if it's not true, you feel like if you live up there, sooner or later, you're going to run the Great North Run.
Yes, yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your fitness
it
is, it doesn't matter
if you're
to run, it doesn't even matter how far it is, it's just part of life.
Yeah.
And in a funny kind of way, that's one of the most wonderful things about the London Marathon, because... Everyone goes on about it, and people who've run marathons other places go, oh, we go to London Marathon. But that's what's magical about the London Marathon, because London isn't that place.
Yeah.
And London is a disparate kaleidoscope of a city. So one event that brings everyone together in a celebratory way is really good for us.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I think that Brighton has that element. You know, I think there's lots of people running the Brighton Marathon who are from in and around Brighton.
Yes.
And it's got a very...
It's got a flavour to it, yeah.
But on the other hand, unlike the Great North Run, well, it's twice as far as the Great North Run.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy marathon.
And it's quite a tricky course, isn't it, as far as
so
I understand it.
There's that element which, again, ties it in with London a bit, I think. It's quite... an easy marathon to break yourself on the wheel of, I'd say.
Right.
And
Because
it's
long
very...
Long stretches of...
Yeah, it's hard.
Toughness.
And
yeah.
Also maybe because it starts in town and then starts putting in legs to make it far enough.
Right.
So if you haven't... It's amazing how, even if you're not running your first marathon, especially if you are, you can put all the training, all the energy, everything in.
Yeah.
And have a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you've run 14, 15 miles.
Yeah.
And you've got the rest of the bloody thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that's... I'm sure that other people have an absolutely wonderful time in Brighton. But for me, last year... And I loved it, so I've got absolutely no regrets. And specifically, I went in open-eyed about not being fit. You know, I just had COVID.
Yeah.
Not only had I missed loads of training, I just wasn't completely well.
Yeah.
But I just, doing the running, I knew I could do it. You know what I mean? I just felt like I still had a kind of base.
Yeah, I mean, you're
fitness.
Never crazily unfit, are you? There's always a...
Yeah.
There's always a base.
And,
yeah.
And then I went there and it was so exciting. I went off really fast, felt really good. And I have to say, you know, listeners will go, oh,
here
there
goes
he goes.
Again. Yeah.
But I think it was a much more knowing going off fast.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can get this thing
done. Maybe
I can
get
done.
It done and dusted.
Because I haven't spent that much time on my feet, you know.
Get home for dinner, yeah.
And I would say there was quite a lot in that. I really enjoyed the first half. It's quite hilly, the first half. And I loved it, and it was great.
Yeah.
And then the second half, you got a really long out and back into Hove, back to the fringes of Brighton. And that's a tough one, because it's a long, gentle hill. So on the ground, it's slightly challenging. And also, you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see people coming back towards you. And it's like, it shares some DNA with the trip out to Docklands at London Marathon. But that bit where you can see people come the other way,
yes,
it's all about that.
Yeah.
It goes on for miles.
And that's quite tricky, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's just at that moment where you start, where the marathon starts to bite.
Yeah.
The 15 mile
it
mark.
It does, yeah, 15, 16. Yeah. It's a deceptive stage of the marathon.
Yes, exactly. Because then there's another out and back. I mean, they might change the course slightly. I think I heard tell. If anyone knows what they're talking about, feel free to get in touch. I'm sure I'll find out on the day. But when you get back down to the seafront, you turn right, and then you've got another hairpin ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that's very challenging too. But funny enough, I was more ready for that one. Because A, I knew it started at around 20 miles.
Yeah.
And B, I'd just been warned.
Yeah.
The sense of it going out to Shoreham and kind of away from people and stuff. And also, I suppose, when I hit that 15-ish, I knew I could feel myself fading, but I still had hope of still slamming out a hard marathon.
Yeah.
Whereas when I got to...
Slam, 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 doink.
Here we go. Yeah. Hey! Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When I started walking around 21,
yeah,
there was a big part of me that really wanted to just carry on running, run to the end. And I literally said, walk now, because you'd never know, you might die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your hands feel funny.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that
everything's happening everywhere all at once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My fingers were feeling quite weird.
Yeah.
I saw that young guy collapse, and I thought, I bet he felt good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Or at least determined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I had a great finish where I eventually started running it again around 24, ran all the way to the finish line, and that was the best lesson because that was like the bravest thing I've done, because that was every step was a... Well, I just didn't have anything,
yeah,
you know, but I ran it because of vanity, really, because we're on the front and everyone was there.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then went home and got bum shingles. So that's last year's front marathon. And so this year...
The main goal is to avoid shingles.
And I'm also scared. I'm scared of it. So it's very hard to know from with it nearing.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of gold, silver, bronze, I really need to get my thoughts straight about what I want from it and how I'm going to get it, you know?
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it, gonna get it.
So what are you after?
Well,
what are you thinking?
I think...
What's your notion?
It's very important to me to take it easy. I'm not going for a fast time.
Because you're sort of seeing this as part of ultra prep, really, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna
so it's more the feeling that you finish with is the thing that you're after.
Yes, and if I could control my running very carefully this year, I run a fast marathon in the autumn.
Right.
And these are
yeah, okay.
These are all training runs.
Okay.
And now let's look at what would happen. If I... The difficult thing is, I've been training pretty hard and I'm pretty fit.
Yeah.
So if I had nothing, if I was prepared to risk bum shingles, if I wasn't shaken up after last year, I could go down to Brighton, give it some.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the possibility I'd come in around 3:35, 3:40.
Right.
I'm not going to do it. I need to put right. that away. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
On the other hand, in my time, in my last marathon, New York Marathon, 4.5 hours. That yeah. hot London Marathon, 4 hours 20, something like that.
Yes.
These are my slowest marathon times. But I don't want to plan for that because those were basically because I broke and I walked for ages.
They were breaker marathons.
I yeah. want to run all the way.
Yeah.
So
you're looking about four.
I want to do sub four.
Right.
Which is a difficult thing to aim for, but I've done it in the past. The way I've done it in the past is podcasting.
Yes. We did just sub four.
Just sub four when we podcasted it together. That's right.
And it felt really comfy, didn't it?
Yeah. And I also did just sub four in my crazy autumn, audacious yet effective 21 plan.
Yeah.
Where I ran York fast.
Yes.
Then 2 weeks later ran London yeah. talking to you on the phone and recording my podcast.
Yeah.
See, that one, that is, I think, the model. Because I was there on my own. I was taking it easy.
Yeah.
And was aware of doing that. You know, like, specifically, we started on the phone.
Yes.
So I'm not going to go off at a sprint.
No.
And yet, coming through the middle and through 15, I'm like, is it bad that I'm doing, that I'm running faster than I would yeah. be in the
yes,
park
of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that was, I think, yeah, it was something not much under four. So all I've got to do really is work out how to bottle that again. Timing-wise, it means keeping...
Well, maybe we should do a little...
My miles should all be at nine something.
Right. Should we do a bit of a podcast?
Yeah, well, it depends. I don't know if you're going to be around.
Right, okay.
If you're around for a phone call, I say let's
yes.
do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I've got to yeah. talk about the logistics.
Yeah.
But it really throws up...
They're pretty tricky, those, for me, because I've got to get from the kitchen to the front room.
Right, yeah, it's tough
whilst talking to you. Without jeopardising the reception.
Yeah.
It can be pretty tricky, that one.
And you've got to keep doing the housework and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
I remember last time we did it, it was really tough for you because you just won an award.
Yeah, yeah.
What a nightmare. It's like a living nightmare.
Got to do the tidy up taper. Yeah. Around the house.
This is so fantastic, running around. There's also something psychological. We were talking the other day about me running, you know, getting under it when you run loads of miles on your own. I don't know how many times we've gone around the park. I just don't know.
Yeah.
We're on the second one?
This is our second time.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's great that I didn't yeah. know, isn't it?
It's much easier, isn't it?
So, it's quite strange. We'll come back to me. This gold, silver, bronze thing is very difficult from here. But, and particularly as my advice is no use to anyone. Let's talk about, aside from taper, coming up to marathon, what to take to the start line.
Yeah.
How people in general should think about this stuff.
Well, I mean, the start line's a weird one, isn't it? Because there seems to be an increasing fashion of getting people to the start line earlier.
Yes.
And leaving them waiting.
Less so in Brighton, I've found.
Right, okay.
I think there's a sense that because it's in town, there's an assumption that you're there in town.
Right, okay.
It's not far.
Okay.
And they work.
Well,
it's a little
good.
Bit more like...
Well, that's
it's
good.
Bigger scale, it's earlier, but it is a bit like a run-through event.
Right.
In that there's corrals.
Okay.
They bring people in and send them off. Well, so that's good, because it can be,
that's
like
loads
say,
better, yeah.
It can be very stressful. And very cold.
I must say,
standing around waiting to start.
I would hate that. I would hate getting there early and waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the other fundamental thing, like with the sleeping we were talking about, is you've got to forgive yourself if things are stressful, really.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, know on paper that getting stressed before the marathon is fairly unhelpful.
Just wasted energy.
It's just wasted energy. On the other hand, when it happens, forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Put it back at arm's length. And
don't stress about getting stressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the key thing to remember is that everything you do, from the most sensible to the most silly, all of it, it's just going to get you started.
Yeah.
You're like an elastic band being pulled back, and everything, all your training, your taper, everything you've eaten that last week, that's the elastic band being pulled back.
Yeah.
And then the first, whatever, 10 miles, 13 miles, 50 miles, 18 miles of the marathon, is that elastic band going pewing past your hand.
Yeah.
And by the time you need to know what you need to know, you'd just be flying wobblily through the air.
Yeah. You'll soon be running.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing.
And it should be a relief to be running.
Yeah.
You know? Because at least then you're dealing with the task at hand. And even then, you've got to work on being in the moment. It's actually surprisingly difficult to run those first few miles of a marathon, because you're going to tend to be up in your head.
Yeah.
Thinking about...
Yes.
Whether you're tired, how you feel, what's hurting, what's happening.
Times and paces.
Yeah.
And also, it's a stage where you're closer to loads of people as well, so...
Yeah.
That can bring tension.
Yeah. Try and enjoy them. Try
it's
be
best
with
to
them.
Shout at them and elbow them and some kind of row.
Take them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them in a headlock and run them into the railings.
Trip hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You're so handy. It's so good to have you here for this.
Take a stun gun or some kind of taser.
Taser, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Coming through.
St. John's Ambulance.
Awkward.
I tasered this guy.
Yeah. So in terms of taking things to the start, it's getting things like hydration right, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
I'm not stressing too much about that either. You know?
No, that's right. You can't, it's a bit like going back to what you were saying about doing your carb loading kind of one meal. You can't, you know, don't drink 3 litres of water at the start because you're just wasting 2.5 litres of water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll mean you're sprinting to the first loo break.
Yeah. Just be ready, you know, that morning. Don't change things up. If you always have a coffee before you run, have a coffee before you run.
Yeah.
If you're having some breakfast, good, have some breakfast. But
yeah.
Don't have a full English, because
if you want to go to work, sure, go to work. What are you doing? You've got a marathon.
Sunday, mate.
Yeah, it's Sunday. What are you on about?
And
what a lovely day today.
Yeah, just be cool. Keep it as normal as possible.
Yeah.
And I think the trick is, with all that exciting stuff, what's it going to be like? Who else is there? Where are you? What about this town? Just externalise. Be in the world.
Yeah.
With and near the other people.
Talk
try
to
not
people.
To be, yeah, try not to yeah. be in your head thinking, because that's all you'll really be thinking.
Yeah. Everyone's thinking the same, isn't it? Everyone's feeling vaguely stressed, really wants to have a good run.
Yeah.
Don't know whether they're going to. And you can have people as well who've done, you know, I've met people in the train on the way to London Marathon who've done loads of training, convinced they're going to get 2:45.
Yeah.
Everything goes wrong, they're coming at 3:25.
Yeah.
You just do not know.
No.
There's a lot of things can go wrong,
it's the
and
birth,
right.
It's the birth plan analogy, which has kept being with us since the very first days of running commentary. It's really great to have a birth plan when you're about to have a baby.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that the chances of that birth plan going out the window are about...
Yeah.
It's about 80% chance you're going to throw your plan out the window.
Yeah.
Even if you do exactly what you want, it's not going to feel like you imagined it was going to feel.
And also, it's worth saying that if you are due to have a baby that morning, don't run the marathon.
Yes. It's an analogy, for goodness sake.
Yeah. I've got my plan. Are you sure you should be running this morning?
That's an incredible...
My water's broke.
Excellent. Let's go.
Yeah, but it's a weird one.
How long was the labour? 3:55.
Yeah. It's
what are you going to call it?
Going to but going to the start with like t-shirts that you're going to throw away and all that stuff. It's all. It can get a bit emotional, can't it? You've got to be careful that you're wearing rubbish t-shirts if you're going to get rid of them before the race or whatever it is, you know.
It can all be a bit much.
Yeah.
Just take it easy. Whatever you do to be calm, you know.
Yeah.
Three deep breaths. Being with the person you're with. I think one of the things in Brighton is, remember that Brighton itself, if you know and love Brighton, which everyone does.
Yeah.
The city centre, the seafront, just to the west of the pier. That's going to look after you.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do is you're going to be whizzling around town, passing the pavilion, going, oh, it's fun. And then you're going to head out east to come back. So it's at about the halfway stage. You actually come down along the front by the two piers.
Right.
So take stock.
Yeah.
Feel Brighton, feel the love.
Yeah.
Think this is great. Ideally, you're still feeling strong.
And what are the crowds like at Brighton?
Wonderful, lovely.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the heart of them.
Yeah.
Because you're near the finish line there as well.
Right.
And you're in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
So there's crowds all the way. But think of it as a kind of emotional staging post, because it's going to be actually halfway, but also you're in the heart of the best bit of the city.
Yeah.
Then you get your head down, you do the two. If you can get through those two hairpins, and don't forgive yourself if they're hard, because they just are.
Yeah.
Then you get back once again to the front to finish, just like
in
London.
Which is great. Yeah.
You're getting back into the heart of the city for the last 2 miles, and no matter how you feel, it's going to bring you in.
Yeah. Yeah. The last 2 miles of the marathon are quite a sort of magical space, really, aren't
they? Yeah, because you suddenly realise you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Even while at the same time thinking you can't possibly do it. It doesn't even feel like conflict. It's both things are true at once.
And again, that returns us to the comparison with childbirth, because it's the same with that as well.
Yeah.
The closer you get to the kid arriving, the less you think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
but of course it's going to happen.
I can't believe this is going to happen. Also, it's worth saying now, have a little plan, be good to yourself after the race. If there's someone else who can be good to you after the race,
who can come and look after you, yes.
Because again, you might not want to do what you thought you wanted to do. You've got someone.
Don't make too many big plans.
Yeah, you're meeting all your mates in the pub, you want to have a big meal, and you don't want to.
Yeah.
Be with someone who can phone them up and take you somewhere else.
Come and get me.
You know,
yeah.
My wife was there at the end of the. Came down to Brighton and found me at the end last time, and she had a sandwich made for me, which at first I didn't want, and then I did. And frankly, if she hadn't been there, I'd just still be sitting near the finish line of Brighton Marathon going, I don't know what I'm going to do to this day. So try for that.
And make sure there's milk at home when you get there.
Yeah, well, this
make
is the
sure there's stock with milk
this
in the fridge. You can have a cup of tea.
If you want a cup of tea,
that's the least you'd expect. I've just run a marathon.
You'd be amazed.
And there's no milk.
You'd be amazed at how that'll make you cry.
Yeah.
And take it easy. Look after yourself in those first few hours, those first few days.
And enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy the post-run glow as well.
That space cadet glow. And wear your medal.
Yeah.
Unless it's actually hurting, you keep wearing your medal. It's a badge of pride.
Yeah.
That's the Deering Family rule. You wear your medal the rest of the day. Around the town, around the house. Yeah. People, strangers are going to congratulate you.
Yeah.
Children are going to say, oh, look at that. What's that? Why is everyone northern? It's your fault.
Northern was impressed with
that. I paid you. Can't help myself. Also, in Brighton, there's a range to try, so expect not to be able to get to anywhere.
Oh, yeah, you won't be able to get. Yeah.
You live in Brighton now.
Yeah. Make plans to move.
Oh, and if you're in Brighton the night before.
Make plans to move to Brighton.
I'm doing a marathon special gig, so come down to Comedia. Come see
me. Oh, really? Oh, nice. Oh, that'd
be
good fun.
Or not.
Yeah.
Don't do that if you're not feeling it, for goodness sake.
And I almost dare bring it. Wasn't there some problem vis-a-vis the length of Brighton? Am I making that up?
In the past, there has been.
Right.
They've reviewed the course.
It's only 200 metres. I mean,
it's now run by, it's been picked up by TCS, hasn't it?
Right.
Or someone international and very solid.
Right, okay.
So it's going to be.
Yeah. You can expect the full distance.
Don't get me wrong, I'm hoping it's slightly short.
Yeah.
Because Otherwise, it's bum shingles. Yeah. What do you think? Now, here's a question.
Go on, then.
It's another question about me and my running, but that's where we're at. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a photo. So let's assume, right now, for the sake of argument, that I do Brighton like that. I get there, do it in 9-something minute miles, come in somewhere a little under 4, and afterwards I don't feel ill. I feel fine.
You don't feel awful, yeah.
I've got the London Marathon 3 weeks later.
Right.
Now, I've done this kind of thing twice before.
Yeah.
2 weeks from York to London, brilliant. Felt great. Felt like I'd literally done a training run.
Right.
3 weeks from London to New York, I was blasé. I put on weight.
Right.
And New York was tough.
Yeah.
Really, really tough marathon.
Right.
What do you think I should be aiming for my 3 week break?
I would. Obviously, the week after is sort of rest, recuperation, and you're running very, very easy.
Yeah.
Probably nothing over four or five miles.
Yep.
And that's by the end of the week. I'd probably do a sort of cozy 12 in that second Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
Just something like that. Just a little bit of reacquaintance.
It feels like there should be a hump, doesn't it? Like we're talking about tapering. It feels like I should recover.
Yeah.
Run at kind of...
Do a little bit of training, but not loads, though. I mean, nothing ramped up.
Like a toe in the water of training in the middle week.
Yeah, I think so,
With a view to, probably to, as much as anything, to see where I'm at.
Yeah.
And to put the brakes on any real sense of...
Post-marathon.
Freedom, you know, I might be...
Yeah, post-marathon, if I don't do that, chill
I
out.
Just be...
Chill out, weight gain, bloating.
I don't think I realise exactly how easy it is for me to put on weight when I'm not running.
Right.
I could put on a stone between those marathons without blinking.
Yeah.
So that's one to watch.
And that's going to really hurt you.
It will change everything.
Hurt your running, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
And then a week's kind of... It's not resting up, tapering, however you want to describe it. It's... You know, it's obviously very close to run a marathon 3 weeks apart. But
yes, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's that middle week you've got to take care of.
And then I would say, I'm just going to say this once and pretend I didn't say it. If I can keep the brakes on for Brighton, then I might give it a bit of a run in London.
Give it a bit of a welly.
I wouldn't expect it to be a super fast marathon because it's London. But I think... A lot of people say if you're going to run two marathons back to back, the one where you give it your all is the second one, right?
I think London is feels quite a fast course, doesn't it? If you're in shape.
Ridiculously, the voice in my head did just have to say to me, yeah, you are doing an ultra just after that, though.
Yeah, all right.
So it's still a training run.
Yeah, well, that's it then.
Still a training run, Rob.
Well, that's it then,
For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
See what I mean about focus? I need to sort myself out.
Yeah.
Here we are, look, sunshine on the wood chips. That's I'm gonna have plasters on my nips.
That's great.
Plasters on your nipples, guys.
Well, and this
women,
will be,
I don't know.
This
how
will be
you
your,
go about that. That's
this will be your 21st and 22nd marathon.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll be using it.
That's enough marathon, bruv.
Enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of them, isn't it?
Yeah. You can sponsor me, by the way. The page is up on all my socials, and I think I'm going to hit my target, and it feels good. Hoping to see Phil's wife, Beck, and Angela Barnes, and
That'll be nice.
Matt on the course somewhere.
Yeah.
I said, do tell me where you are, because otherwise I will sail past.
Yes, of course.
Even if they're going, Rob!
Yes,
it's us!
Yeah.
We're your friends!
No.
We're in front of your eyes!
Easily missed.
Yeah. So, any other tips? If you're listening to this and it still hasn't happened, get your tips on the wall.
Yeah.
So, listen... How does it work with gold, silver, bronze, then?
Well, let's have a little think. I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it?
It's almost and I'm just going to put this out there. This isn't what I'm saying. It's almost like my gold, silver, bronze aren't necessarily...
Time related.
In time order.
What?
Well...
What? We reach new levels of obsession.
I'll be disappointed in myself if I go too slow or too fast.
Right.
But say I'm having a lovely time.
252, what a downer.
No, but say I slam out and I think, yeah, no, it feels great, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do 3:35.
Right.
And instead, I get cross with myself, walk a couple of miles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And come in at 3:50.
Yeah, that's
awful.
Whereas
if I run out of the way and I'm steady and I come in at 3:58,
you feel, yeah, you feel fine.
The latter. Is what I'm playing for.
Yeah, it's about feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
It's almost like feeling.
Yeah.
If you finish feeling strong and comfy and happy and optimistic,
yeah,
that's your goal, isn't it?
Yeah, so gold, right, here we go, right?
Yeah.
Gold, 3:55, ran all the way.
Yeah.
Silver,
yeah.
4:15, 4:20,
yeah.
Ran all the way.
Right.
Bronze, horrible day, bum shingles.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Look at that marathon. That marathon. I just called a magpie a marathon. That magpie there was sitting. Oh, there's two of them. Hooray, two for joy. Morning, magpies. That was really good because
she's running well there. A bit of threshold, I reckon.
Yeah, that's good. Two magpies, thank goodness. And did you see where they flew off from?
No.
The fence of the aforementioned.
Oh, right, yeah.
Paddling pool. Oh, I think nice. That was last week we talked about that.
I'm someone's mum.
Hello, I'm Summers, ma'am. So, good luck to anyone.
Yes,
running.
Good luck to anyone.
Any marathon or any big run, any event.
Yeah.
In the coming weeks, actually, it's very much the season. There's been some amazing PBs coming through. We'll collate all of those.
And, yes, we'll have a PB spectacular.
Well, it's a shame when they get delayed, because there was definitely someone who got a new, much faster PB by the time we celebrated their PB.
Yes, yeah.
If you're going to be that impressive multiple. And fast, then what are you going to do? Who's? Am I going to get a PB in Brighton? No,
no.
I mustn't.
And if you do, you'll be really annoyed.
I'm so angry with myself.
Really annoyed.
3:10. What the hell?
Really annoyed.
What the hell are you thinking? What about bum shingles?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.